This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph White.
Almighty God, the grace creator, Almighty God, my loving Savior. His words for love that have been spoken. These truths at once shall not be broken. Strength for today.
As we explore what it means to be a disciple, it is necessary to touch on some of the hard sayings of Jesus.
Thank you, Dennis. Yes, there are things our Lord says that seem difficult, and to love one's enemies and to be a servant to all certainly seems so. But this is discipleship, and there is so much more to his call and to his grace. Do stay with us.
Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as 7 times? Jesus said to him, Not 7 times, Peter, but I tell you, 70 times 7. For this reason the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him, and as he could not pay, the Lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all of his possessions, and payment was to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and seized him by the throat and said, Pay what you owe. Then this fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, Have patience with me, and I will pay you. But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he could pay the debt. When the fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then the lord summoned him and said to him, You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave, as I had mercy on you? And in anger his lord handed him over to be tortured until he should pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart.
Thank you, Sharon, very much. What Sharon has just read, at least the first 2 verses, is considered to be one of the hard sayings of Jesus. That along with, if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Or love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. All of these have been termed hard. And I know the Lord goes on to say, your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. However, for most of us, what is closer to all of us is that we have problems with turning the other cheek, and all have difficulty loving enemies and those who hate us. Such a strange command, yet there it is. And it is not as if the apostles were ignorant of it. For there is Paul telling the Roman Christians to let love be genuine, love one another, and bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. And later he will say, never avenge yourself, but give it all to the wrath of God. So what does one make of such a difficult call for those who would follow Christ? To forgive those who offend, who speak evil of you, sin against us, even persecute us. Forgiveness may be the most difficult thing in the world to do, for it calls upon those offended, those sinned against, abused, or harmed, that those who are innocent, who very likely have done nothing wrong, are to forgive the guilty, and then they seem to go free. It is extending oneself to offering unmerited and unearned forgiveness. This is not what Jesus will say in another place to the disciples. Take heed to yourself. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in the day and turns to you 7 times and says, I repent, you must forgive them. It is one thing to be asked to forgive a brother who has sinned against you, if he asks for it, by repenting of whatever he has done, even if it has to be done 7 times in a day or endlessly, as long as the repentance is real, sincere, which of course it must be. But here it is just to forgive the abuser, no matter how often. That is the point of Jesus' response to Peter's question. How often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? Peter's question is actually being quite generous, for the rabbis taught that one was only obligated to forgive the same individual, but 3 times. Peter has more than doubled what was considered necessary. Peter has at least grasped the sense of Jesus' teaching, which so highly valued forgiveness, and rejected the idea of personal retaliation. But Jesus, in answering Peter, makes it clear that he is not interested in a forgiveness that counts how much. That is petty, lacks generosity, and does not reflect what is the kingdom of God. Jesus will use Peter's 7 times and state, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. Of course, he is not asking anyone to count to nearly 500, but that forgiveness is to be a natural extension of a disciple's life. A disciple cannot, under any circumstances, withhold forgiveness. Jesus will clarify what he is saying with what else? A parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wishes to settle accounts with his servants. This, like all such parables, is illuminating the meaning and nature of the kingdom, its way of life, and its call upon our lives. As the king begins his reckoning, perhaps it is the accounting of those who handle the money in the various departments, those who are entrusted, and then one is brought to the king. The words imply the man is brought by force, perhaps under arrest, for he is indebted to the amount of 10,000 talents. The amount is staggering for that age. It would be as much as 60 million denarii. A denarii was a day's wages for a common laborer. Herod's income while king was 900 talents. The tax on all of Galilee and Perea was only 200 talents. This man owed 10,000 talents. It is an impossible sum, and that is the point. Yet the king, to get back what he could, orders the man, his family, and all he possesses sold. Such was the thinking in that age. All that belonged to the man, including his wife and children, were to be sold. The man had run up a huge debt, and he must pay. It is punishment for his offense. Not that it will come close to repaying the debt. Thus, to the man, the situation was impossible. The law would be of no help. He owed his Lord this enormous sum. The only option was the Lord's mercy. So he fell down, prostrated himself before the king. He would exercise to the extreme the only option open to him. And as the Greek tenses imply, he kept on pleading. There is nothing half-hearted here. He is looking at prison and cries, "Have patience with me. I will repay everything." Of course, such a sum is beyond belief. It is of such a magnitude that it is impossible that he could ever pay it all back. But he is ready to promise anything. So on your face before the king, you plead for mercy. And it works. The king has compassion on him. And rather than rescind the demand that he and all he owns was to be sold, and that he be required to pay what he can over time, the king beyond belief forgives the man this entire incredible debt. He who was guilty of malfeasance, possibly of outright theft, is forgiven all. He is freed, liberated, and the innocent party, he who was owed this vast sum, pays the debt. The king has removed this 10,000 talents from his accounts, and that would change most people forever. But like so many, it has no effect. He should have lived in gratitude for his very freedom. But just as he had owed money, so money is owed him. For as he went out, he came upon a fellow servant, and it does seem more likely that he had deliberately sought the man out because he owed him money. Yet despite his being forgiven an impossibly large debt, this man owes him not an insignificant amount, but compared to his own, at least a manageable debt, 100 denarii. As a denarii was the common wage for a day's work, in truth, this is but a trifling amount. But our man is eager to get his money back. He is greedy and grasping, for he grabs the other by the throat and strangles and shakes him, demanding what is owed. The same language is used as was used by the king and himself. Pay what you owe. And the man fell before him and besought him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." This man does not say he will pay back all, but is saying he will pay what he can until in time it is all paid. It is a difference. For when the first man tells the king he will pay it all, it is an impossibility. But now the response is also different. This man refuses. The tense used requires a continual refusal. His will is absolutely set against any clemency. He would then have the man thrown in prison, there to remain until he had repaid all the debt. Such debtor prisons always seem irrational, for in prison back then there was no way to earn the money necessary. It all seemed counterproductive and hopeless. But the parable does not leave it there. But other servants of the king find the man's actions reprehensible. His lack of trust is shocking, and his actions are reported to the king. Again, the man is called before the king, and it is reported that in anger, the king places the man's condemnation in the form of a question. "You wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you besought me. And should you not have mercy on your fellow servants as I had mercy on you?" The question is valid. And is our Lord's point. Here the king pointed out that he had forgiven all his debt. You should, literally, it is necessary that you be as generous. So unsurprisingly, the king turns him over to the jailers. Until he repays his debt, those who have received extraordinary grace should obviously act in accordance with the grace they have received. To be so forgiven, he must, it is necessary that he act like a forgiven man. Forgiveness, mercy should have been his very attitude, out of gratitude, and the unexpected sense of relief, of freedom from such a burden, have some effect on the individual. As the psalmist sings, "Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile." We started out recognizing the difficulty of this command of our Lord. To forgive those who offend, who have sinned against us, is always difficult. That our life in Christ is not about counting up to 70 times 7, but of literally giving up retribution. We are not to repay evil for evil, but good for evil. This is also an insight into the desires of our Heavenly Father. Just what can the unrepented, unforgiven sinner expect from his hands? Such a one deserves no mercy. Anyone who is unforgiving, unmerciful, but the very fact that one would show no mercy, refuses to forgive, is openly inviting God to withhold his own forgiveness. Perhaps those of hard heart do not expect God to be their final judge, but he will be. The idea is that as we who have been forgiven much, and I do mean much, for no matter how little one believes they have been forgiven, in light of the Heavenly Father's holiness, his unreachable glory, we are, believe me, forgiven a great deal. And as such, we must, each of us, forgive. The words are important. There are to be no exceptions. As I said, this is hard. So hard that theologians and teachers from as early as the 2nd and 3rd century tried to work out exceptions. And by the time the church became a power, huge landowners, part of the establishment and the government, exceptions were forced upon this simple teaching. It just would not do for the state, those who bore the responsibility for others, for the security of cities and nations, as it was said, to turn the other cheek, to let offenders, those who do harm to the innocent, to just be forgiven, to show always unmerited mercy. What if all behaved like this man and behaved as if he had received no mercy himself and took out his mercenary spirit on everyone else? This is why this is a hard command and why what Jesus said is so often reinterpreted, reapplied, and relearned. In a fallen, corrupt, and insincere world, one will be taken advantage of, swindled, abused, and generally left with nothing. But discipleship is suffering, is the loss of our own life. Christ's words will find their fulfillment when his kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven. That the state is currently, in the words of Paul, that rulers do not bear the sword in vain, but are God's servant to execute his wrath on the wrongdoer. It is really not that confusing. What we are called to is a special and remarkable life, but it is not meant for those called upon to be a terror to bad conduct. This life of mercy is our calling, that we forgive others from our heart so that we might receive the same forgiveness. Remember our Lord's words to us that we repeat so often. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. O Lord, let us never forget the kind of life that we have been called to. We may never see it worked out in our communities as he would have it lived out in our lives, but that does not remove the necessity to always have that forgiving spirit, that loving spirit that is the kingdom of God. Oh, that that kingdom might come on earth as it is in heaven. And in your name forever. Amen and amen.
To follow Jesus is not a call for the faint of heart. Discipleship is a serious undertaking, and it is the necessary and unavoidable call upon all Christians. This is what Thomas writes about in his book, The Question of Discipleship. Just what is a disciple, and what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? This is a scriptural look at this important subject and should be in the hands of every Christian. So just write and ask for the book, The Question of Discipleship. It can be yours at no charge. Well, dear ones, you know how much we appreciate all of your prayers and sincere graciousness. And to those of you who are not yet a part of the Wings of Healing Outreach, we pray you would sincerely consider being included in our Wings of Healing family. Supporting this ministry makes you an integral part of God's work that brings help and the wonderful Word of God to so many, here and abroad. Please join with us, won't you? Our addresses are Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Also, secure contributions can be made on our website at www.thomasrwyatt.org. Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon. There are those hard sayings of our Lord. But when we understand the situation, the culture, what he is saying even to us, you do want to do more. As Rosalie states, as she asked for discernment, a wisdom to know how to be of help to others, and then how God has opened so many doors, opportunities to serve God, and then there has been a revelation of how, when you are willing, seeking, and open, God will use you. Yes, that's so true, Rosalie, and he will use you more and more. And I want all to know we are here for you. Dennis will provide our addresses once more at the close of the broadcast. But now Chris Tomlin comes to sing appropriately, Lord, I Need You. And until next week, keep on doing for the Lord.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. And without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. We're sinners. Grace is found, is where you are, and where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you.
This program is sponsored by the Wings of Healing International Ministries and is supported only by the gracious gifts from people like you. This is a ministry dedicated to the proclamation of the gospel done with reason, clarity, and without sectarian confusion. Please do write and remember that to stay on this station, Dr. Wyatt needs to hear from you. As always, CDs of these programs are available, and this week Dr. Wyatt is offering his very timely study titled The Question of Discipleship. Now, here is briefly and biblically presented just what is meant by discipleship, what it means to follow Jesus. This is important for all believers, so do write and ask for The Question of Discipleship. It can be yours at no charge. Our address is our Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. White at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, Postal Code V6J4N1. Or you may contact the ministry at www.thomasrwyatt.org. This is Dennis Colonna asking you to please tune in again next week at this same time. And remember what God has promised to those who love Him.